Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And if you enjoy this content, I'd really appreciate it if you just take a second to, if you're watching on YouTube, just hit the like button right now. It takes 1 second. Like it's right there. Just a thumbs up button. Just hit it. That's it. That's all I ask. If you're on Spotify, make sure you hit subscribe, Apple Podcasts, subscribe. If you can leave a rating or a review on the podcast app, that's great as well. Any of those things, I would really, really appreciate it. If you want to comment, like on YouTube, if you want to comment, I read those comments. And if there's something for me to respond to, I do respond to that. Sometimes I'll just like it, just to make sure that you know that I saw it, and then don't respond for whatever reason. There's not really much to say. But one other ask, we have a contest going on right now with past clients only, to leave a review for me specifically on Zillow. If you need a link, let me know. I'll send you the link. And the contest is for a $250 Amazon gift card. This is the last call for you guys to do this. Next week's episode, I will be announcing the winner of the $250 Amazon gift card. Now, again, it's only for past clients. If you are not a past client, if you're just a random person from another country, which I've had a few of you that somehow figured out that I was doing this giveaway, it doesn't work. Zillow won't accept your review. They'll only accept reviews from people that they can verify have been past clients. But regardless, if you're from another country, if you're from anywhere listening to this, I really appreciate you guys listening or watching. So thank you very much. Today we need to talk about a very important topic, the government shutdown. And, you know, one thing is a little bit of a misnomer is that the government doesn't like actually shut down. It's kind of like a big, big scale back, right? And so if it were like a true, like just full-blown shutdown, that would be a big problem for real estate. With it being a scaled back, more, you know, kind of shutdown, it is still a problem for real estate. And I just realized, speaking of problems, well, I don't have my phone in here. And I need to put my computer on Do Not Disturb. There we go. I just did that. It would be a big problem for real estate if the government fully shut down. Thankfully, it doesn't. Thankfully, it only does this kind of, you know, partial kind of shutdown. But there are still effects on real estate here in Greenville, here outside of Greenville. We need to talk about what a government shutdown does to real estate. It's been really a minute since we've had like a big, long government shutdown. But there's the possibility that this shutdown that we're in the middle of, right? And I'm recording this October 7th. This could go on for another week, 2-3 weeks. Like there's kind of a stalemate. And honestly, you know, I'm not going to get too political here, but there are advantages for both parties to drag this out. There are reasons why both parties would potentially want to drag this out and not immediately resolve the shutdown. And that's really, really bad, right? That just means that it's going to take longer than normal. And so we just have to deal with it. But what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be reading a list of stuff from the National Association of Realtors of impacts on real estate that the government shutdown has, and I'll give you my thoughts on it. So I'm just going to start right at the top with the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. Under EPA's shutdown plan, most employees will be furloughed. This will affect various regulatory programs and compliance activities such as wetlands determinations under the 404 program and enforcement of the lead paint disclosure renovation, repair, and painting programs. All right, what does all this mean? Well, wetlands determinations, that should not have a huge effect here in Greenville. That's not really a major part of our market here. Now, that's a big deal in other parts of South Carolina. And it's not that we don't have wetlands here in Greenville. It's just, that's not something that's affecting a lot of real estate transactions right now. The enforcement of lead paint, disclosure, renovation, repair, and painting programs. Also, I would say not a huge impact in Greenville. Now, it's not because we don't have homes that that have the that were built around the time or before when lead paint was being used. That's not what I'm saying. Good grief. I thought I had... Give me 1 second here. I apologize. My... I thought I had muted everything, but it turns out I haven't. All right. Everything should be muted now. That wasn't affecting you guys, but that sure was affecting me. I was like, my watch was blowing up. My computer, I was getting all these notifications. I think we're good now. Lead paint. All right. Here's the thing. So we've got those older homes that were built around the time that lead paint was still being used. Anytime I show one of these homes, they've had so many layers of paint on them that it's virtually impossible to get a positive test for lead. Now, where you can run into lead paint issues is, let's say that you start to demo walls that have, you know, old lead paint in them. That can become an issue. But again, just don't eat the lead paint, right? It's not like other things where it's like if you ingest it, you know, in a variety of ways. It's not like if you cut yourself with it, you're going to get in big trouble. I mean, I'm not a doctor or anything like that, so I don't know all the ramifications there. But the whole problem with lead was that basically little children were eating it, right? That was the problem with the lead paint. They'll take the little paint chips, put them in their mouth, and eat them. And generally speaking, when you're in a construction crew, that's not happening. And again, if the walls have been painted over 20 times, you know, for a home that was built in the 50s, there are layers of paint that don't have lead in them, right, over the course of that many years. So that's just something to consider. I've never in my entire career had someone test for lead paint. I've never had lead paint become material to a transaction, so I don't think that's a huge deal. HUD programs. HUD, this is the next one. HUD has a contingency plan that keeps many housing programs alive, though often in a reduced capacity while others face serious disruption. The Federal Housing Administration, FHA for short, for example, will continue to endorse new single-family mortgage loans except for certain types such as HECMs and Title I, which I'm not going to get into, thereby keeping its systems running. But many actions needing staff input, such as processing certain types of condominium project approvals, are suspended. There are other things in here. So for instance, I'm gonna read a little bit more. At the same time, essential FHA operations, including paying claims, servicing mortgages, loss mitigation, and managing foreclosed properties, move forward often via contractors rather than employees. Importantly, borrowers may turn to private flood insurance if the National Flood Insurance Program lapses during the shutdown. We'll talk about that in a second. So long story short, HUD, generally speaking, is going to keep moving forward. And that's important, right? That's a huge part of it. They have their fingers all over the real estate industry, as does FHA, as does Fannie Mae, as does Freddie Mac, who we'll get to here in a second. The important thing is, again, we mentioned condominium project approvals. Again, my listeners, probably not too many of them are going to be affected by that. But anything needing staff input is potentially at risk here. And so if you have some kind of a unique thing where you might have to get HUD or FHA staff on the phone, not something that I'm typically having to do, but something lenders might have to do, or perhaps borrowers might have to do it, you could experience slowdowns when it comes to that. Government-sponsored enterprises. During previous shutdowns, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have continued normal operations since they are not reliant on appropriated funds. There are four key areas of consideration. We've got verification of employment, okay? For home buyers employed by the federal government, both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac allow for verification of employment to continue after closing, but prior to delivery of the loan, all right? When you hear delivery of the loan, okay, here's an important detail. You've got a lender. They are typically going to sell the mortgage that they underwrite, okay? So you close on a mortgage, that mortgage gets sold. Usually it's changing hands with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac on some level. That's what they call delivery of the loan. And so if you're a federal employee, you've got to make sure that this is all going to work out. And you might have a lender that is kind of hesitant, right? Because they don't want, once they close on your loan, they don't want to have issues with selling that loan on the secondary market to Fannie and Freddie. And so that's a consideration there that they may say, hey, we need more clarity on this shutdown before we close on this. Tax transcripts. Here's the next part of this, of the government-sponsored enterprises section. Freddie Mac requires all borrowers to sign a 4506T, which is a request of transcript of tax return request form prior to close. But the request does not have to be processed prior to close. Fannie Mae requires the same unless the borrower's income can be verified through Fannie Mae's proprietary desktop underwriter verification system, in which case no 4506T is required. And then it also says during past government shutdowns, the IRS suspended the issuance of tax return transcripts. Okay, what does all this mean? Again, this could cause a delay. If you have a loan that requires a tax transcript, you are likely to face a delay on your closing. And this impacts a lot more than just residential buyers. This impacts commercial transactions quite a bit, particularly on investors. Frequently, there's requests for these tax transcripts. And so if the IRS is not doing that, that's going to cause a delay. That's something to be aware of. Verification of Social Security numbers. Sometimes Social Security numbers are disputed and must be verified. Fannie Mae allowed lenders to verify the numbers prior to delivery of the 2018 shutdown as a precaution, but did not allow delivery if the number was not confirmed. Freddie Mac does not require verification of Social Security numbers. So again, you might run into a situation where you need a Social Security number to be verified, and you might not be able to get that. Now, again, this was a really, really niche case. If it happens, it's going to cause a delay. Proof of flood insurance coverage application. Both Fannie and Freddie require a completed application for flood insurance and a copy of a check for the first premium or the settlement on the settlement statement reflecting the payment of the initial premium or the assignment of an existing policy from the old owner. We'll get to flood insurance here in a second because that could be a problem for some people. Let's see here. IRS, can also cause problems. Well, they're always causing problems. But long story short, during the 2018 closure, the roughly 12% of employees who were required to report to work could open mail only in search of checks payable to the government and were not allowed to answer taxpayer phone calls, issue tax refunds, release liens and levies, or perform most other taxpayer services. Now, here's something interesting. I've got a little bit of inside information here, and that's because my accountant took a really long time extending my tax return and all of that, and we just completed the tax returns a few weeks ago. I just got my tax refund from the IRS. And yes, I did, in fact, get a refund. I just got that a few days ago during the shutdown. So apparently they are still issuing tax refunds. Perhaps the IRS is doing a little bit more than normal right now. It's hard to say. If you're dependent on the IRS for a real estate closing, again, that's another pressure point where there may be a delay. National Flood Insurance Program. During a lapse of authority, the NFIP may not sell new or renewal flood insurance policies. Existing NFIP policies will remain in effect until their expiration date, and claims will continue to be paid until funds run out. The NFIP policies may be assigned from seller to buyer during a lapse, and most lending regulators have issued guidance providing flexibility. Private market flood insurance is also an option. This, again, impacts coastal areas and other areas of South Carolina more so than the upstate. But we do have floodplains here in the upstate of South Carolina. And if you are purchasing a home in a floodplain, this is potentially a problem, right? You don't have access to the National Flood Insurance Program. And you may need to look into this idea of an NFIP policy being assigned from the seller to buyer during this lapse period. I've never heard of that happening, but it seems like that is an option for some people. If they are purchasing a home in a floodplain, because you're not going to get a new policy. And of course, it references the private market. Flood insurance is also an option. Either way, it's a good idea to contact an actual personal lines homeowners insurance company or insurance broker to discuss flood insurance, right, before you ever get a policy. Don't just go to FEMA's website and do it all there. I always recommend talk to an actual insurance person first and go that route. Rural housing program. Some of you know about the USDA loans. It's a 0%, oftentimes zero PMI loan program designed to stimulate rural areas. It's only in specific areas. You can't get it everywhere. It has to be somewhat rural. And USDA will not issue new direct loans or guaranteed loans, and scheduled direct loans closings will not take place. So this is a big one, right? This is a lot of these other ones we've been talking about. Well, there's some workarounds, or you know, maybe your closing will just be a little bit delayed. This one's not a maybe. This is a guarantee. If you are purchasing a home with a USDA loan, you will not be able to close on it during the government shutdown. Okay. And so it continues to say pending conditional commitments for guaranteed loans will be reviewed, and if possible, USDA may issue the loan note guarantee. Guaranteed loan closings without a previously issued guaranteed may still proceed, but only at the lender's risk. Listen, I don't see lenders taking those risks right now. Lenders are very risk averse in this environment. Really, if you're getting a USDA loan and you've not heard yet from your lender as to like what's happening, you need to call that lender right now. If you're a realtor who has a client getting a USDA loan, you're listening to the show, pause the show and call the lender to see, hey, is there an issue here with USDA with us actually closing on time? Now, it continues to say disbursements on existing construction loans may continue when necessary to protect USDA's property interests. Yeah, naturally, right? And I'm not gonna get into all that with the construction loan aspect of it, but USDA is gonna do what they need to do to protect themselves. Department of VA, Veterans Affairs, will continue to guarantee home loans during the government shutdown, and lenders may keep processing applications. However, some VA staff and support functions may be reduced, which may slow down approvals, appraisals, and certificate of eligibility requests. Veterans seeking a new loan or refinance should check with their lender for updated processing time during an extended shutdown. Listen, we already know that VA loans are a little bit more involved, and that's not a problem. Like, they can still be closed about the same speed as an FHA loan, more often than not. A good VA lender can do it. But now we're throwing this government shutdown thing into the mix, and I think you just have to prepare. If you're trying to buy a home with a VA loan, if you go under contract during this government shutdown, put out that closing date. You got to put it out, give yourself plenty of time, give yourself maybe 45 days just to be absolutely, 45 days isn't a guarantee, but once you start getting above 45, most sellers don't want to even entertain it. So that's probably the longest that you can do. Maybe have a conversation with the seller. If the home's been on the market for a while, perhaps you can get by with doing 60 days. Remember, most contracts are structured that the closing date is on or before that date. So you could do 60 days, but as soon as the government reopens or whatever, or if the government shutdown is not a problem, you can certainly close sooner than that. Let's see here. Visa programs EB-5 and H-2B. I'm not going to get into the weeds on all of this, but just understand the processing of labor condition applications for various work visa, including the H-2B visa, will be shut down. All right. So if you need a visa in order to purchase a home, you could be impacted by these things. Small Business Administration, the SBA, will not process new loans or approve routine small business loans, including the CDC 504 loan program and the 7A loan program. However, the agency will continue to close previously approved CDC 504 loans and carry out limited loan servicing liquidation activities. So if you're depending on the SBA, some kind of SBA loan, be aware there could be some issues with that. And I'll just end with this, which is the final part of this whole thing from the National Association of Realtors. In a previous NER survey of members on the impact of government shutdowns on their business, 75% had no impact on their contract signings or closings. However, 11% did report an impact on current clients and 11% on potential clients. So 75% of real estate transactions, for the most part, are not affected. That number, probably the way I worded that isn't accurate, because they that was a survey of members. So 75% of realtors were not affected. Also, 75% of realtors have like one transaction or fewer per year. So it's hard to say exactly, you know, how meaningful that number is. But the point is that most people are not going to be impacted by the government shutdown. But in some of these niche cases, they could be. Particularly when you're talking about the flood insurance things, getting those tax transcripts, the USDA loans, and some of these things that require, you know, help from VA staff or help from FHA staff, things of that nature. Again, we start getting into some of these niche cases. How likely is it? Not super likely in a lot of these instances, but real estate is a Murphy's Law industry. If it can happen, it will happen. And you can pretty much guarantee that there are realtors right now that are being affected by it. Thankfully, it hasn't affected me yet. Knock on wood, whatever. I hope that that continues. But more information you have, the better. But this is a pretty exhaustive list. If it wasn't on this list, then it's a really, really niche case that would affect you. So don't freak out. Government shutdown. It too shall pass. Will it be next week? Will it be the week after? Will it be the week after that? Who knows? But it'll pass eventually, and then we'll be back to normal. Hopefully we get the flood insurance program back up and running. That's the big one, right? That's really the, out of all of these, that's the one that directly impacts people the most, in my opinion. And that's something we have to fight for every year, because the flood insurance program expires every year. So we're constantly, the National Association of Realtors constantly having to advocate to Congress that, hey, flood insurance, really important, right? Some people, their homes would immediately lose value if the National Flood Insurance Program ceased to exist. Now, you might not think that the federal government should be in the issue, in the business of issuing and regulating flood insurance. And you might have a very good argument for that. But the problem is that when it just goes away overnight, you know, the private industry, the private insurance market can't immediately fill that void. And that void could take months or years. And then, again, you might have people that had homes in floodplains that now the private market has taken over. Perhaps insurance costs a lot more as a result of that. It could be less, but I'm just giving out scenarios here. It could be a lot more that could then devalue a person's home. So there's a lot that could go wrong here if, for instance, flood insurance were to be dismantled long-term. Thankfully, that hasn't happened. The flood insurance program did get into the One Big Beautiful Bill that Trump signed earlier this year, but now we have this government shutdown that's throwing all these monkey wrenches into it, and here we are. We've just got to ride it out. But hopefully, no one will be severely impacted. So far, none of my clients have been impacted. Hopefully, none of you will be impacted either. If you have any questions on that, let me know. My contact information is in the show notes. If you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs, please like, rate, review, subscribe to the show. Please go to Zillow. Enter the contest by leaving me a review on Zillow. You can potentially win a $250 Amazon gift card next week when I announce it on this show. So please don't miss that. We will talk to you guys again next time.